Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Friends, Wednesday night here. We're getting through it. The week is midway, more than halfway now that it's evening. So for those of you working a conventional work week, you made it through hump day. Now, you can't even use that term anymore. The hump day does not mean anything that a third grader would giggle at. It just means, you know, you're going up, 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 right? You meet, reach the midway point, the we'll call it the apex of the hump. And then you're on the downward slide from Wednesday. As an employer, I recognize that this just doesn't only reference necessarily the calendar days. It also can reference productivity. So we're on the downward slide. And speaking of office humping, hashtag me too. Hashtag time's up. Hashtag Hollywood's got this. Hashtag we are screwed. Let me tell you what I mean. And I, oh, the phone number, 800-222-5222. If you'd like to be on the program, Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. If you, if you're wondering what I'm talking about here, I want to begin to put together in the coming weeks my thoughts on this Me Too movement a little more comprehensively. Because sometimes when there's a new phenomena that pops up, or a new, I don't know, a new movement, a new, this type of thing, trend, okay, I have to let it sit in my head for a little while. I need to let it, I don't know, I need to let it just kind of stew. And it's been stewing. I'm telling you, it's been stewing, and I have some thoughts. First of all, question for you. Most nonsensical, left-wing, hysterical, ridiculous trends originate out of Europe. You know this. This is a fact. I tell you, as a European, given my parents are both from Europe, and as you know, I spent quite a bit of time there, I can tell you that this is 100% true. We're always kind of on the tail end of their BS when it comes to left-wing trends. Not here. This hashtag Me Too, we are leading the charge. So for all of you who are, we want to be just like Europe, which the left, the American left, always looks up to Europe. They see European socialism. They want France. They want French, you know, 32-hour work week and minimum wage of $100,000 a month. I mean, that's what they dream of when they sit together in their salon smoking their liberal crack pipes. So anyway, they look up to Europe. But this trend, this hashtag Me Too movement, it's not in Europe. It's not there. We're leading the way, and I'll tell you why. And it has to do with, now I know we're a family show. I'm going to keep this very PG, but it has to do with how we deal with sex in our culture. Because hashtag Me Too is all fine and dandy when we're talking about rape and serious sexual assault. Fine. But we are criminalizing knee touching right now. We're criminalizing the unwanted failed pass that happened 30 years ago that may or may not have even happened. We are weaponizing normal, healthy interactions between adults. And I don't think this is okay at all. In fact, I mentioned the other day how it's kind of silly, the prohibition, if you think about it, of, well, any form of relationship between a manager and an employee, right? We know this. You can't do it. Don't do it. I don't do it. You shouldn't either. If you're a manager, don't do it. Don't get anywhere near it. But if you think, I mean, this is one of the pillars that this movement wants to enshrine in law. No sexual relations between boss and employee. But if you think about it, isn't that enshrining into law a prohibition for an employee's right for a female to choose who she should enter into a consenting relationship with? And you'll see that the way that this movement is beginning to evolve, and the reason is that there's something new that's popped up, and that is the hashtag MeToo movement. There's a new kid on the block. Just when we thought hashtag MeToo was teetering out, even some very prominent left-wing voices were out there saying, well, listen, guys, we're kind of taking this too far. Well, they've rebranded. They've rebranded. And now it's hashtag Time's Up. And it started with a letter that began, an open letter to the New York Times that began, "Dear sisters, we write on behalf of many women who work in film, television, and theater." And it went on to talk about, well, discrepancy in pay and rampant sexual harassment in Hollywood, et cetera, et cetera. And now this is why at the Globes people are wearing black. Do you remember this? Golden Globes, a big thing was everybody, and not just people that went to the Golden Globes. If you were a proper leftist intent on virtue signaling your way through the weekend, you needed to have worn black on Sunday. So if you missed that memo, you got to atone. So you had all these celebrities wearing these $20,000 gowns, right? These dresses that we mortals couldn't afford, decked to the nines, virtue signaling that they are supporting some farm workers somewhere who are getting sexually harassed, or some actresses that started their career. And by the hypocrisy of this, it's stunning. Because I genuinely think that Hollywood, and we were just talking about this here as we were doing show prep, Hollywood thinks that the rest of the country has as bad of a sexual harassment problem as they do. That's why they're taking the lead on this. That's why they are all in for this. And the irony is that Hollywood, when I told you that this Me Too movement is the result of an uncomfortable relationship that we have with sex, and we are Americans, speaking as a European, Americans are prudish. OK, we are prudes. You go to Europe. I know this because I'll take my kids. We'll be walking down the street somewhere. And there is an advertisement on the side of a building, you know, 40 meters tall of a beautiful naked woman. And this just, you know, sends Americans into a right. You go to, it's Europeans are far more relaxed about this stuff than we are. And we don't need to get into the history of it, but there's always been an exception. There's always been a place in America where where the elites looked up to Europe and their relaxed attitudes towards sex. And that place has historically always been Hollywood. Hollywood has always been ground zero for America's admiration of Europeans' open and liberal attitudes, especially when it comes to relationships between and among the genders. And so what you have, it's fascinating to me that now the place, let me give you an example. I'll give you an example. I knew a guy, a great guy, who's since passed, been a mentor to me, and his father was a playwright, a prominent writer. You would recognize the name in Hollywood. And this is where I first, you know, because I'm more American than I am European. I mean, I grew up here, so I I understand the difference between European attitudes and our more prudish American ones. And I remember talking to this guy who was older at the time, and I was, you know, in my 20s, and he was explaining to me middle-class morality. He was saying, well, this is middle-class morality. You should, you know, when in Hollywood in the 50s, when the rest of the country was all, you know, buttoned up, suit and tie, the whole nine yards. I mean, Hollywood in the 50s, I mean, we didn't, Sam, people didn't fuss with middle-class morality. And if you want to know what middle-class morality means, it's really just code for, you know, our more conventional way of perceiving relationships. And Hollywood didn't occupy itself with that all the way back. I mean, this and it predates, by the way, predates the 50s. And so in this environment, in an environment that prided itself on being liberal, on being open, on being free of middle class morality, on being free of religion and being free of God and being free of any kind of constraints, anything goes, let's do this, balls to the walls. Shockingly, people like Harvey Weinstein are born. And everybody is standing around the room going, oh, gee, Frank, how did that happen? And I'm looking at it and I'm going, duh, of course. I am not here under any circumstances defending Harvey Weinstein or you got to understand, folks, if anyone has a strong dislike of Hollywood, it's moi, your host. Okay? But you know what I care about more than my own political axe to grind? I care about common sense. It's a theme on this program. If you listen to the show, you know where I stand on these things. So you will occasionally actually hear me defend people I don't like. And it's probably a little bit of the lawyer in me. You know, I care about the facts. And what worries me here with this hashtag MeToo movement is that the overreaction is going to absolutely punish and criminalize and drive weirdness into totally normal, healthy interactions. Men need to be able to make passes at women. I'm a straight male. I cannot speak for gays. I can't speak for transgender. I'm a man that likes women. So all I can tell you is oh, that I, yeah, no, I can't. You know what I'm saying? I can just talk about that. I know that occasionally you make a pass at a woman when you're single and it's appropriate, and she rejects you. And I also know that as a young man, that was a very important part of my development. Well, it builds your confidence, you know, because you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. When it doesn't, you go, okay, well, too bad, so sad. You deal with being let down. You deal with rejection. But on some level, and I can speak a little bit for women because I'm married to one. One gave birth to me, and I have women around me, and I can tell you, I know a little bit about women. And I can tell you that even the unwanted pass, a lot of women like, they enjoy the attention. And ladies, if you're listening to me, and maybe you are a diehard, man-hating, you know what? And you are all about hashtag me too, but right now you're alone, you're in the car, nobody's around and listening, and you're hearing me, okay, even if you're not liking it. Let me ask you something. Do you want to live in a world where no one makes a pass at you? Think about it. Because this hashtag me too thing is spreading not just from workplace, boss, employee. It's going to basically all interactions. Garrison Keillor, NPR, he's taken out by some woman that he met at an event that he's, you know, puts his hand on the small of her back. I've mentioned in the episode. Nonsense. I don't care. Look, I don't care if he put his hand on the on an exposed back of her dress in public and it was a flirty move. It's nonsense that he lost his job over it. Absolute total nonsense. And the only reason that you're getting some attention, by the way, from the left on this issue is because their own people are dropping like flies. Their own people are getting affected by this. And they know likey. Yeah, there's more, okay? There's more. But trust me, ladies, you do not want to live in a world where men are too afraid to flirt with you. And touching, okay? I'm not talking about grabbing your boobs, but I am talking about touching. This is how you break the ice. Jesus! Is this who we are going to become? Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You think I'm pissed all because I lost House of Cards, right? Is that what's going on? Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am all in against the Me Too movement. Time's up, whatever the hell they're calling themselves today. Let's just call it what it is. Hollywood's full of pervs. Okay? Just because Hollywood's full of pervs doesn't mean they have to harass the whole country with their issues. This is so Hollywood. You understand how self-involved, self-conceited, we are the center of the universe, these people are? I'm going to talk a little bit later about that moron, that absolute piece of human garbage, Robert De Niro. If you're a De Niro fan, do not listen to my second hour. I am so fed up with that bozo. Shut up. But you know, the reason that these actors who, we all know, De Niro, Al Pacino, okay? De Niro was like, it was Godfather 2. Every time De Niro comes on the screen, I'm like, forward. And that was before he started trashing Trump. Anyway, more on that later. Yeah. I tell you, Hollywood thinks it's in the center of the universe. It's the same thing that compels actors to speak their political opinions about Trump or speak their political opinions about Obama and Bush. No one gives a rat's rear end. You know what we want? I want my damn House of Cards back. It was a good show. That's what I want. I don't care. I actually do not care that Kevin Spacey put his hands on some guy's nutsack. I don't care. I don't. That's for them to figure out. And I should be able to choose as a consumer, am I going to support that product? Am I going to watch the show? That's democracy. That's free market. You know, I mean, well, thank goodness, right? I mean, look, I'm staring here. I've got an iPhone 10. I got a Mac, brand new iMac in front of me. My whole life is Apple run. What if somebody came out of the woodwork and accused Steve Jobs of touching their iPod? You know, he touched it in a seductive way. Oh, that's it. Apple done. Can't use Apple products anymore. Or Steve Jobs, you know, replaced, and we would never have had X, Y, and Z, whatever it was that came after those allegations. Even. Al Franken ought to be in the Senate right now, period. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I am saying that as a conservative, you know, right of Donald Trump Republican. Okay? A couple of people have sounded off about this. Christina Hoff Summers, who is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and the host of The Factual Feminist, writes, "The Me Too movement seems to be devolving into an anti-male grievance fest." Exactly. Another writer, Lionel Shriver, who is an author most recently of The Standing Chandelier, writes, "I'm concerned that we are throwing knee-touching into the same basket as rape, which does a grievous disservice to mere knee-touchers and rape victims both." This is exactly true. Listen to these words. There are people that get raped. There are people who have really terrible things happen to them. And we got these accusations flying around about, you know, oh, he, you know, he sat on my lap and oh, he, you know, Jeez. And the most important thing about this is human flirting is important. It's vital. And if I know that we're only 2 years away from having sex with robots, and that's like where I don't know that is that we're gonna. Well, it's only a matter of time before the robots start their own hashtag MeToo movement. But that's not good. We need to. Yeah, no, that's exactly what's going to happen. This is things like this change, alter in an unhealthy way sexuality. And sexuality is very important to mental well-being. This is why I'm a huge gay rights advocate. I don't think that somebody who is gay should be told to be straight. I don't. I think that young men need to be taught not to be rapists, right? But also to know that they can flirt with women without fear that their entire careers are going to get destroyed 30 years later. It's nuts. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. John Wolf up next with the news.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 800-222-5222, sam@samnation.com is the email. Email me, especially if you hate me. I love to hear from you. Oh, my favorite emails ever of all time. Don't worry, though. I actually do respond personally. Okay, I don't pass that along to people. So at any rate, we are talking about the hashtag MeToo movement, which I am absolutely disgusted by. I wouldn't make that clear if it wasn't in the last half hour. I'm totally disgusted by it. I cited in the last segment Lionel Shriver, and she's an author, wrote a book, The Standing Chandelier, and she's kind of a feminist commentator. Anyway, she writes, I am concerned, this is about the hashtag MeToo movement, I am concerned that we are casting women as irredeemably scarred by an even minor casual advance and as incapable of competently and sensitively handling the commonplace instances in which men are drawn to them, right, attracted to them, sexually, and the feeling doesn't happen to be mutual. Commonplace instances. It is. Rejection, okay? A rejected pass, flirting, unrequited love. This is as old as, this was old stuff with Romeo and Juliet, okay? Shakespeare wrote about this stuff. It's in the Bible. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. It is as old as time. And you know why? Because humans, in order to mate, right? And I don't mean the act of mating. I mean, in order to find a mate, have to go through a process. And that process is really healthy and it's important for our development. And I know what, look, I'm already seeing some of these emails pop up. So let me just consolidate them here. I am not talking about this over-top aggressiveness that is really pervasive right now, too. I say this because I follow on Instagram the site of Tinder Nightmares. I don't know if you know this. If you don't know what Tinder is, it's where people go to shack up. I don't think it's really for people who are looking to date so much as to find somebody that is keen on having intercourse with them. Okay. Netflix and chill, I think, is the right code. Oh, put on a little Kevin Spacey, get you in the right mood. You know what I'm talking about. And I find this extreme. The Tinder Nightmares on Instagram show really awful pickup lines that guys use usually on women. And they're graphic. They're disgusting. I mean, I really enjoy consensual relationships. You know, I like when people like me back. The concept of forcing yourself on someone, it's not for me. And it's not for a lot of people out there. But while on one hand, we are We are talking about no touching, you know, the sterile world where everybody, you know, just hands by your sides and, oh, hello, my name is Sam. Hi, I'm Sherry. Oh, hello. I don't know what to do or say right now because I don't want to get sued. That's the world that Me Too wants to create. While in the real world, right, online, people are basically saying things that I could never say on air to each other as the first line. And you know why they're saying those things? You know why? Okay, for every one of those that's put up there is like, wow, what a nightmare. What, I can't believe that guy wrote that. Do you know why he's using that line? You want the dirty down truth of why he's using that line? Because it works. Because there are women that are turned on by it. Because there are women that want to be aggressively pursued. Women don't. The women are programmed. I'm telling you, these are generalizations, but women want to be chased. They want to be pursued. And maybe not all of them that aggressively. But the overreaction here risks far greater and far more damaging consequences than anything that is detailed in the Me Too or Time's Up movement. Okay, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here from my friend, my attorney, Sweet James Bergner. This is the guy you need to call if you've been in an accident, you've been injured, and you need some help. And the answer, by the way, the answer is if you've been hurt, you've been injured, you do need help. A lot of people think, no, I don't really need an attorney. It's going to be expensive. It's expensive not to hire a lawyer. If you go at it alone, and trust me, they're going to take advantage of you. I mean, would you, if you got charged with the crime, would you defend yourself? Would you go there and try to do it yourself? No, you wouldn't. You'd hire a lawyer. And it's the same thing when you're dealing with an accident or injury. Friends do not let friends go at it alone. So if your friend or a loved one is going at it alone, grab them, shake them, not too hard if they're hurt, and tell them you need to hire Sweet James. Sweet James is the guy. He's got a great team of people, great office, really friendly people. And I'm telling you, this is the way to go. He's got an easy phone number to remember. You ready for it? 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. There are a lot of imposters out there. He's the original, okay? A lot of people on the radio and TV, you know, trying to catch up. James is a real guy, real deal. He's got a great office ready to help you. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit sweetjames.com. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Another thing that this Lionel Shriver gal writes is that, I'm not just going to read it here. This is about hashtag Me Too and her concerns. Now, she's the lady who said that she doesn't want knee touching to be thrown in the same basket as rape, saying that it does a grievous disservice to mere knee touchers and rape victims both. I agree with her. I think that's exactly what has happened with a lot of these allegations, right? You're throwing Harvey Weinstein in the same basket with Garrison Keillor, puts his hand on the small of a woman's back and gets canned by NPR. Nonsense. Another thing that she writes here, I'm concerned. And this is exactly the point I was making earlier in saying, isn't it ironic that the Me Too movement is not in Europe? It's the one crazy thing that hasn't come from Europe. And the reason for it is Europeans have a far healthier attitude about sex in the first place. They're more open about it. It's us Americans over here that are still stuck in Puritan times. Yeah, we're like the smiling pilgrims over here with our belt buckle shoes and wide brimmed hats going, ooh, no, don't touch me there. This is what she writes. I'm concerned that sex itself seems increasingly to be seen as dirty and as a violation, a form of assault, so that we are repackaging an old prudery in progressive wrapping paper. I am concerned that we are well on our way to demonizing, if not criminalizing, all male desire. This is coming from a woman, right? And I don't think that this is very articulately written, but I do not think that it is particularly I don't think this is a one-off deal. I think a lot of reasonable people out there, a lot of reasonable women especially, who enjoy the company of men, want to be desired. They want to be flirted with. And this whole thing is just turning upside down. But the progressive wrapping paper line, that's exactly it. And what Hollywood has done here, and I'm going to get into this a little more here after the next break, because we've got to get a little commercial time out here. But what Hollywood has done here is Hollywood first set itself out as the place in America where we don't follow the rules. We're too good for that. America, you guys are a bunch of prudes. We are the liberated ones. We are the ones that are free. We are leading the way. Let us show you, America, the way to the promised land that is free of prudery, free of middle class conventions, free of religion, et cetera, et cetera. And then lo and behold, you have people like Harvey Weinstein. Of course you're going to have people like Harvey Weinstein. Of course. Duh. The Harvey Weinsteins of the world are as old as time. But there's a particular reason why it happened in Hollywood and not at GM. Okay? And it happened in Hollywood because, precisely, of more liberated attitudes about sex. And power dynamic, guys, I read all about this, the power dynamic, the dear sisters, you know, these wage discrepancies, you got these poor actresses who are starving and they're getting taken advantage of by rich media moguls. Yeah, that's great. Great. It just reads like a Dickens novel. But, sorry, it actually really has to do that Hollywood's full of pervs. Hashtag Pervywood. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
One last note on this Me Too thing. There's a lawyer, Wendy Kaminer, and she writes about this. She's a lawyer for the ACLU. And I always, you know, if you're actually a good lawyer, if you're able to, a good lawyer can distance themselves away from politics and hysteria and look at just the facts. This is something that that you get taught when you go to law school. First week, you come in with your opinions, and if you go to a good law school, like I went to Chapman University, great school, solid professors. You go there, and the first thing they tell you is, I don't give a crap about your opinion. Back it up with the law. Oh, okay, all right. So then you go and you start reading and you start researching and you look at the law, and then you go, oh, well, I guess my opinion has no basis. and you have to, you have to self-challenge yourself constantly. Anyway, so here's a lawyer for the ACLU. And the point that she makes is that you've got to distinguish when it comes to these accusations of sexual assault. There's a difference between the hand on your knee, she writes, and a grope up your skirt. And you have to make that differentiation the same way that we distinguish pickpockets from home invaders. Right? I mean, in other words, when you look at the criminal code, there are degrees to everything. Most commonly, it's first degree murder, second degree murder. You know, there are distinctions placed on almost every type of prohibited behavior. And there's a scale. And one thing that this lady, Wendy Kaminer, writes is, she says, you know, is workplace harassment where it interferes with somebody maybe working their way up the ranks or getting paid properly is one thing. But regulating all social interactions, that's another. And that's really where this is headed. I get it. Speaking of Europe and how liberated they are, we were just talking about this earlier. My experience from the Czech Republic is that, in my view, this is my opinion. In my view is they're a little too liberated when it comes to sex, especially in the workplace. I think it's a little distracting if that's really this undercurrent that's running through an office. A well-run organization does not need, you know, constant, you know, it's a distraction. Sexual interactions are a distraction. It doesn't belong in the workplace. And I'm speaking, if you must know, I'm just so you know, remind everybody here, you know, I grew up in a home where my mother was the breadwinner and worked in corporate America and did well for herself. And was it easy? No. But never in a million years would you hear my mother complaining about some, you know, harassment or issues like that. It's just absurd. Something you deal with. It's a tale as old as time. And so all you libs out there that are having a meltdown, shut up. I'm done with it. Get over yourselves, your virtue signaling, and honestly, for all of those you people in Hollywood, shame on you. Because this is you covering up years of your piggish behavior. And now you're trying to paint all of America with a broad brush. You're hiding behind farm workers. Oh, look at them. They're getting abused too. Who do you care about farm workers? Really? God. Smoke a joint. Okay. Up next, I want to talk about Robert De Niro. This ties into, by the way, the Me Too movement, stupidity of Hollywood, and just some of the things that you and I should not tolerate. Honestly, we ought not tolerate it. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. John Wolfe up next with the news. Can't stop addicted to the shindig. Chop top, it says I'm gonna win big.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC, 8:04 p.m. Here we are plugging along and enjoying our Wednesday evening. I am your independent voice, your truth seeker, truth teller. I'm rarely wrong, but always right, coming to you live from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the orange curtain. Okay. Phone number 800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Ladies and gentlemen, well, if I've already blistered Hollywood today, let me blister them some more. I've spoken to you many times about Hollywood stars who talk politics. And I've told you, and I think you agree with me, that it's dumb. It's dumb because if your job is to appear on a screen and speak some lines that someone else has written for you, right? Can you hear the condescension in my voice? If that's your job is to appeal to as many viewers, watchers, consumers of your nonsense movie as possible, right? The studio has hired you, has paid you, in some cases, ungodly sums of money. And what you ought to do is you got to get up there and do a fantastic job, right? The better, well, ideally, right? You get up there and you act well. And then you're as non-controversial as possible in your personal life so that as many people out there like you. The Sean Penn phenomenon is one that repeats itself over and over again. I today cannot, as I speak and say this, I cannot watch a single Sean Penn movie. Why? Oh, this goes back down to Bush years. I mean, Sean Penn cannot shut up about politics. He thinks he is God's greatest savior, the most intelligent intellectual out there, and he became such a prominent, outspoken critic of Bush. Mind you, I was no fan of President Bush either, but the point is, I couldn't divorce on-screen Sean Penn, the actor, from the Sean Penn speaking in the media. The entire point of a good actor becomes so good that you forget it's the actor and he's entered the role of the character, and you can't do that. You cannot take that leap of faith, of belief as a viewer, when the actor has made a spectacle of himself on cable news. Enter Robert De Niro. De Niro, as you know, has been, ever since the election, been going off about Trump. And this is newsworthy for two reasons. One, De Niro called President Trump the jerk-off in chief, the baby chief, and an effing fool in an epic rant today. Yes, it was yesterday. He was giving an award to Meryl Streep and just went off. He's done this before. You want a flavor of this? Okay, here's a flavor of him. When was he saying this? This was at the Sarajevo Film Festival in Bosnia and Herzegovina, August 13th, 2016. During the election, Trump had already seized the nomination, was running against Hillary Clinton. And this is him outside of our country, okay, trash-talking our future president. Listen.
I mean, he's so blatantly stupid. He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con, a bullshit artist, a mutt who doesn't know what he's talking about, doesn't do his homework, doesn't care, thinks he's gaming society, doesn't pay his taxes. He's an idiot. Colin Powell said it best. He's a national disaster. He's an embarrassment to this country. It makes me so angry that this country has gotten to this point, that this fool, this bozo, has wound up where he has. He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face.
You know what's kind of sad for De Niro is talk like this is so poisonous and diminishing. Also, a little egg on De Niro's face happened after this. You know what he did? When Trump published his tax returns, it turns out Trump had paid more money in taxes than De Niro made in 5 years working. In 1 year, Trump paid in 1 year more taxes than De Niro did in a significant period of time. A joke. The real loser here is De Niro. But then something else happened that touched me personally. And I periodically will tell you a little bit about personal stuff. So please allow me here to indulge you in a little bit of a personal gripe of mine. And when I tell you the story, I'm not advocating any kind of a movement here. I'm not advocating. I don't do boycotts. This is nonsense stuff. But I am careful about how I spend my money, and I do believe that when I spend my money, that my dollars are votes of confidence in a product, votes of confidence in a company, and in a people, and in an idea behind it. And I also thank my lucky stars that I did not grow up in communist Czechoslovakia as my parents did, for many reasons. One of them here, the one that matters, is that I live in a country where I have choices. If I don't like a Mercedes, I can buy a BMW. If I don't like Toyota, I can buy Honda. If I don't like, I don't know, one type of cheese, I can get another type of cheese. You get the point. And after De Niro, and by the way, these comments were not isolated. You see, he's the same script that he went off last night about, you know, the Meryl Streep event. He goes off on Trump. It's the same tired script. It continued through the summer before the election, through the election. He's been criticizing him ever since. I'm a lawyer. I have to look good during the day. Okay, this is what I have to do. I have to wear a suit, a tie all the time. In fact, right now I'm sitting here in studio. I joke, I'm the best dressed guy in radio. You can't see it. You can't enjoy it. I'm wearing, am I not? A white shirt, nice tie, and a suit. Now, before all this De Niro nonsense, I got all of my suits. I'm just going to put a little peek behind the curtain. I got all of my suits from an Italian company called Zegna. Maybe you're familiar with them. And Zegna is a store that they've got stores in L.A., Beverly Hills, and elsewhere. They got one down here in South Coast Plaza. And Zegna, I'll tell you, Zegna made a terrible decision, in my view, to hire, back in February of 2017, to hire De Niro. They hired De Niro to be their spokesperson. This is after he trash-talked, I mean, just pig, dog. By the way, I have two dogs. I love my dogs. How dare you use that as an insult? But anyway, whatever. I wouldn't have punched him. This is a guy who made movie Dirty Grandpa. This is a guy who, by the way, co-owns a restaurant with Harvey Weinstein. Right? There's a, well, okay, either Harvey Weinstein goes to this restaurant in New York City or they co-own it. I've heard it reported both ways. You be the judge. So, obviously, they're hiding it right now. This is a guy who's been in Hollywood his whole life. We're going to talk about Me Too. This is a guy who's been in Hollywood his whole life. You hear him speak out for sexually abused actresses. You hear him speak out against Harvey Weinstein, I don't know, 5 years ago, when accounts came to light. This guy is a human piece of garbage. And I made the choice months ago. I was going to go in for some new suits and I went to a different company. I was done. I was so disgusted and turned off the same way I cannot watch now a De Niro movie. If a new movie came out, De Niro, I would not spend $20 now. Sheesh. $20 to go see a movie. I wouldn't spend that money. Well, and then if I go with my wife or I go bring the kids, if it's something they can see, I mean, now all of a sudden we're talking about a lot of money. So I'm not going to spend that on an actor that I don't like. And I sure as hell am not going to spend hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars at a store that supports and hires and pays my money that I spend there to this kind of an idiot. And it all came back to light. Now, I've promised confidences and I hold them. So if you tell me, people who know me and tell me things and tell me this is off the record and I'm not going to talk about it, so I will hold it there. But this thing went all the way up to the upper echelons of the company because I threw a fit. I didn't throw it on air. I'm doing it now, months later. But I just said, this is nuts. You guys have made a tone-deaf decision, and I will explain the tone-deaf decision to you. You ready for this? The reason that the company has done this, in my view, is because they're European. And in Europe, if you go to Europe right now, you think that it's 90-10 negative coverage here for Trump. It's 100% negative coverage. In Europe, they stupidly believe that Trump legitimately stole the election, that Americans hate him, that he is all the things that De Niro says. And so for Hildo Zegna, the great grandson of the founder of Ermenegildo Hildo Zegna, the company, that guy who's sitting in Milan, Italy, he genuinely thinks that De Niro is the voice of a people. He's not. They're completely out of touch. The world has no concept of what's going on here on the ground. Even if you don't like Trump, you know that we are divided on the issue. Poll came out today. What was it? 38% support for Trump, 48% support for Oprah Winfrey. And the world went nuts. Oh, my goodness. The poll doesn't mean anything. I'll maybe talk about that a little bit later. 38%, 42%, 50% for Trump. Doesn't matter. Hillary was supposed to, if we were to believe the polls, Hillary was supposed to win this by 15 points. President Hillary Clinton, if the polls had had their way. All of this, I mean to just tell you is, look, if you have principles and if things bother you out there, you gotta follow them. And I will tell you, I am so bothered by this company that I loved, by this brand that I was devoted to, dedicated enough to, where it got the attention of a senior person within the company that I stopped shopping there. I'll tell you that. And I laid it out for him and I said, this is what it is. And they heard me out. They're really nice people. They're good people. They're some of them. Obviously, they don't all agree with one another on this, but it's, you know, but it is what it is. And I am just tired too in this political environment that everybody assumes that we all think the same. You remember when I went down to Mexico and I wore a Trump hat and some crazy liberal from Vice Media attacked me and said, how dare you wear that hat down here? What do these people, what do they think? What do they think of this? And I said, how racist are you to think that all these people, quote unquote, think the same? that all Mexicans, you know, have the same monolithic opinion. Mexico, America, Germany, Israel, Zimbabwe, they're all the same in the sense that, that there are differing opinions. There are people who support the government in power. There's people that don't. There's people who are on the left and there's people on the right. There are people in Mexico, I swear to goodness, there are people in Mexico who love Trump. I know this. I spent time in Mexico and I love it there. And those are and I have interesting deep intellectual conversations with my friends there and they don't all agree with me on everything, but they boy, you think they were all in for Hillary Clinton, you got another thing coming. There's no such thing as monolithic thought. And liberals, the elites, all think that we all think the same. They all think that what they think, we think. It is so freaking patronizing. A guy sitting in Europe running a multi-billion dollar business thinks that we stupid Americans all think the same. And he's wrong. He is dead freaking wrong. And so it's just a personal story. But it illustrates a very commonplace problem right now. We say that we're polarized. Have you heard that complaint? We're a polarized country. Okay, what the hell does that mean? I have this book of 100 years of front pages of the New York Times. 100 years. It ends somewhere. It's an old book, so it ends somewhere, I don't know, in the 80s. Okay. You should flip through that book and you tell me if there was ever a period in our history that things weren't polarized, that people didn't have different opinions. Man alive. You know, remember, does anybody remember the Civil War? I'm just going to ask that. Things were, you know, stuff was a little polarized back then. I'm not going to lie. Civil rights movement, polarized. Gay rights movement, polarized. That's what happens in a free society. We have different opinions. It's how we deal with those opinions. And companies and corporations should stay clear of it. Their job is to appeal to all of us and stay out of the fray. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. The Rasmussen poll I referenced last segment, 48% Oprah, 38% Trump. This poll reveals why Oprah will never become president. You're wondering, what do I mean? Well, she's 10 points ahead of Trump. Yeah, but she's unchallenged. Trump has 38%. Going into probably the most obnoxious, powerful headwind of hate media you could ever imagine. So this is like, you know where headwind comes from, right? It's flying. You're up in the air in an airplane. Every time you're in an airplane, do you ever wonder why you got there really quickly or, you know, your flight was a lot shorter one time versus another time? If I told you it was headwind or tailwind, it matters. If the wind's blowing at you and adding, you know, 50 knots in the back of you, pushing you forward, that's your plane's going extra 50, you know, knots faster than it was before. Could be a 25% difference, or a little 15% difference in speed. Big difference. Okay. So Trump's headwind here, pushback that's slowing him down. Well, so if you're a critic of Trump's, you're saying he's doing it himself. Okay, fine. I think that if the reporting on Trump was something like the reporting on the Five on Fox News, where you had people saying good things, people saying bad things, criticisms, and it was balanced. I'm not trying to borrow a slogan, but I really do look at that show and I say it's balanced. I think that poll number would be in the 50s, even 60s potentially. Okay. By the way, what pushback has Oprah had? She's polling at 48% with the whole country melting down over how presidential she was. So she has a tailwind. This is why I wanted to get into the metaphor. She's got help. She still can't cut it. Is it affirmative action? I don't know. We can call it that. Political affirmative action. Help for the liberal, hurt for the conservative. Typical. But make no mistake about it. If you can't even get to 50%, if you can't even get 50% with all that positive coverage, with how great you're supposed to be, how well-liked you're supposed to be and everything, and Trump over there, Mr. Stable Genius, right? Mr. I grab him by the, you know what? Is only 10 points behind you, man alive. You got problems. So anyway, that's how you read that poll, okay? You've seen the headlines, and I saw the headline today, and the headline was something like, uh-oh, bad news for Trump. I was like, no, oh my gosh. Please, try again. Try again. Well, this stuff is also fascinating. All right. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. I'm really enjoying this jockeying for 2020 is going to be very interesting stuff. And it's interesting because the big question is, who is Trump going to run against? In part, Trump was elected because he ran against Hillary. If Trump had run against Biden, for example, or if he had run against Bernie, as frightening as I say this, if it was Trump v. Bernie, I don't know. It would have been a tougher contest. I don't think he would have captured blue states the same way that he did running against Hillary. Hillary was an off-put. But I think it's more than just that. I think that Trump is running, won't just be running against a candidate. He's going to be running against something else. And this DACA decision that came down out of the Ninth Circuit yesterday at a San Francisco courthouse, I promised I would talk about it last night. It came out while we were on the show. This decision, this becomes Trump's real foil. This becomes Trump's true opponent. I'm going to explain this. You are going to be so in the know after you listen to this. You're going to be really, truly at the cutting edge of this conversation. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Got John Wolf up next with the news.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Here I am, a conservative personal injury attorney. A contradiction in terms. Speaking to you the truth and nothing but the truth. Sprinklings, not just sprinklings. A proper soaking of common sense. 800-222-5222. Sam at samnation.com is the email. Woo! All right, this DACA decision, it's 49 pages long. When you go to law school, it's the second time in one show I'm talking about law school. I was at my alma mater, Chapman University, earlier today. So maybe law school is on my mind. At any rate, in law school, you don't read textbooks that write about the law. You read legal decisions, court decisions on past cases to learn what the law is. Okay? This is standard procedure for lawyers in the United States. So you read a lot. By the time you graduate, you have read a lot of judicial decisions. And then, of course, in practice, that's all you do, too, is the law constantly is evolving as new cases come out. And the higher the court, the greater the precedent, the power of the decision, and so forth and so on. OK. So I've read a lot of court decisions. This thing is nonsense. OK. And one of the reasons you know it's nonsense, can I tell you? Typically, the longer something is, when it comes to these court decisions, some of the best, hallmark decisions that come out of the Supreme Court are so beautifully succinct. They're short and to the point. And you know why? Because they stand on established principles of law. It's easy. You go, here's the issue. Here's the rule that, you know, has applied in the past. Here is the conflict. Here's our analysis. And at the end of it is the new rule. Now, not always. It doesn't always follow that formula. This decision by this judge, William Alsup, a Bill Clinton appointee to the Ninth Circuit. He sits up there in San Francisco. This guy's a lib, and he's going through Trump tweets. There hasn't been any good analysis out there today about this. He is citing turmoil within the White House. You know what I think he's citing in one of these passages? He's citing the book. He is citing that stupid piece of garbage book that was put out by that bozo, Michael Wolff. As basically the decision says, well, you know, even the Trump White House isn't exactly clear internally on what they want to do here. No, they are. And they are on solid legal footing, my friends. This DACA thing's very simple. Federal law says X, which is if you're an illegal, you're not supposed to be here. That's what being an illegal means. Now, if you're a liberal, you don't even like that term because it reminds you of how illegal you are. Okay. Well, let me digress. I don't want to get off on a tangent. But the law says one thing. Obama, using executive action, using his own executive authority, created an exception to the law that Congress had passed. He created an exception to the rule. Now, follow me here. This is really important. If anyone's executive order should have been subjected to judicial scrutiny, it would have been Obama's. Because what Obama did was the president cannot legislate. Congress must legislate, right? Congress passes the law and the president enforces the law. So when a president selectively enforces the law, theoretically, it's a constitutional violation. You follow me? Because it's the same thing as rewriting the law. If you don't enforce provisions of a law, it's the same thing as not having those provisions to begin with. But they were in there by order of Congress. Well, no. This judge, 48 pages, talking about how Trump got it wrong. Simply reversing what was originally a poorly conceived executive order. Fascinating stuff. Now, Trump's going to run against this. Let me explain that when I come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my attorney, my champion, sweet James Bergner. James and his team, these are the people to call if you've been in an accident, an injury, motorcycle accident, truck accident, moped accident, if you are at the zoo and are charged by a wild rhinoceros, okay? Call Sweet James. I've been impaled by a rhino. No call is too crazy. Just give him a call, get some good advice, and you don't want to go at it alone. Don't try to hassle with it. Let James and his team take care of you and worry about all the details. His phone number is super easy, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. That's the number that you call to reach James. Keep it handy. You or a loved one get into an accident, an injury, give James and his people a call. One of the things, too, I'm just going to say this really quickly. Don't let your friends and loved ones do this alone. Really don't. They're going to get taken advantage of. In the way our court system works, you've heard me talk about my experiences as a lawyer. We have a court system that has two sides, right? And each side fights for their position. And in the end, we come out to an agreeable outcome. But if you've got nobody fighting for you, if you've got nobody pushing and advancing your cause, you're going to get rolled. That's how the system works. So remember that and tell that to your loved ones. If they're grappling with this decision, don't go for an amateur. Don't go for somebody who's Johnny come lately. Don't go for an imposter. Go for the original. Sweet James Bergner. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. I just told you why the Supreme Court, Ninth Circuit Court decision here on DACA is rubbish. By the way, the Supreme Court has many, many times before reversed this judge's decisions, and specifically this judge's decisions on DACA, because there have been some prior cases. So this judge's, his name is, what is his name? William Alsup. His opinions on DACA are caca. Okay? That's the way you remember that. Why is this good news for Trump? Wait, Sam, did you say that correctly? Did you say it was good news for Trump? I did, my friends. I said it was good news for Trump because what Trump is going to need, there's two things that Trump needs going into the election in 2020. One, he needs to have some wins. And he already has that in the form of the tax cuts. And I know I'm a student of economy, I understand that these tax cuts are going to produce great results for our economy. I get that. So I'm already 10 steps ahead of this. That is going to be a win. It's going to be a good thing in its column. The part of that first thing is he can't give up the ghost on any core promises. We talked about this a little bit last night with immigration. So he can't cave. He can't capitulate on any big issue, for example, like the border wall. But the second thing that Trump needs, and listen to me, this is just raw politics. He needs a boogeyman to run against, and it can't just be his opponent. Imagine in a fantasy world that Trump gets absolutely everything done that he wanted to. I almost think that that's worse for him. I think that if Trump was going into the 2020 race and he, every single one of his promises that put him into the Oval Office to begin with, if every single one of those promises had been fulfilled or in some measurable way attained, I don't think that Trump would be as successful as if in a scenario which is far more likely, he has work to do. And the reason he can articulate this, and he will because he's a great communicator, he'll say, I haven't done X, Y, and Z because of them. And he points his finger at Congress. He points his finger at the media. He points his finger at these liberal judges who are throwing sticks in the way of his agenda. And I'm just letting you know, if you libs, I know I have a few liberal listeners out there, you ought to listen to me. I'd go to the cocktail party somewhere, you know, at whatever fancy clubs you go to in San Francisco, and I'd tell this judge, you know, cut this nonsense out. You're not helping anybody. You're just setting up an absolutely loathable foil for Trump to go against. And that will motivate his base to put him in for another 4 years. Take it from me. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back after this.
Talk radio 790 KABC.
Hey, Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. The DACA caca thing here from the Ninth Circuit gets even better. Do you know who originally authored the DACA memorandum as Homeland Security Chief? A Secretary of Homeland Security back in 2012 that authored the DACA memorandum that started all this nonsense under Obama was none other than Janet Napolitano. Now, who do you think is bringing this litigation now on behalf of UC Regents and the UC University system and all of its students? The lead plaintiff in the case, the people that went to the court and said, help us stop the evil Trump. Who was it? Well, it's the chancellor of the head of the UC schools. You know who that is? The one and only Janet Napolitano. This is how crooked and how stupid and how just. And by the way, anybody mentioning this? Been out of the loop today, but I found one piece in National Review about this, and it didn't talk about it. To me, this is disqualifying. There's a great part in the decision here. I'm going to scroll through it, and I told you it's 49 pages. Such nonsense. I'm just going to read this. This is talking about after they go through 12 pages of procedural history explaining where DACA came from. He's citing Reagan. He's citing Bush. He's just trying to put this veneer of everyone agreed that, you know, letting illegals in was just fine. Everybody was on the same page until that Nazi Trump came along. So anyway, here the judge writes, the plaintiffs herein, I'm going to translate this a little bit, so I'm going to get the legalese out of it. Can you let me do that? Okay. The plaintiffs here filed 5 related actions in this district, all now consolidated before this judge. They first started, by the way, as a typo. The first commenced on September 8th. I think he means they. It's not even, proofread the damn thing. They first began, I'm going to translate this again, on September 8th, brought by the Regents of University of California on its own behalf and on behalf of its students, and Janet Napolitano in her official capacity as Presidente of the university. The University of California alleges that they have invested considerable resources in recruiting students and staff who are DACA recipients. Yeah, no crap. The UC system is out there pimping out, trying to get as many illegals in their gates as they possibly can. What a... Don't send your kids to UC schools. Hey, you know what? Send them to Chapman. You know? Do you know I'm on the board of governors of Chapman University? I need to disclose that, probably. Yeah. Janet Napolitano, you know, president of the University of California, she can go suck it. Okay? You want to send your kids to a real institution, a real school that has, you know, is built on some common sense principles? Yeah. Chapman. All right. The UC system is so corrupt. They're actually arguing it out. Oh, we brought in a lot of illegals how self-serving, too. She authors the policy to allow the illegals to stay and give them federal benefits, and then turns around, joins the University of California, and rolls out the red carpet to them. And then when Trump takes it away, because it's, you know, he has the right to, he has no less right to do that than Obama had originally to make the change. And they all go crying to the courts. Typical liberal BS. Okay, I'm taking time off tomorrow and Thursday. We're going to do a best of. Maybe even this show will play again in case you missed any portion of it. Sorry. I'll be back on Monday night. Thank you so much. Love you all. And I'll see you soon.